Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to another episode of the Self-Build Plus podcast, where we chat with self-builders, suppliers, and experts about all things home building and renovating in Ireland on both sides of the border. I'm Astrid Mattsson, your host and the editor of Self-Build Magazine.
This podcast was recorded at Self-Build Extend and Renovate Live in Limerick in January 2024.
I'm joined by DJ Ramsdale of DJ Build Cost Estimations. So DJ is basically the brains behind our Build Cost Hub, which is something you get as part of your Self-Build Plus membership. So he updates the costs on this part of the website for both the Republic and Northern Ireland, obviously different costs. Much cheaper and nicer to build in the north than here, but we're in the Republic here. He also has bills of quantities, and he can price up your plans as well. He offers that service. So we're here to chat. Sorry, DJ, I'll just sit there.
Yeah, sorry.
We're just going to chat about how much it costs to build a house, the million-dollar question. I guess the first thing to ask you is how would you... I mean, you know, you can just put your finger in the air and go, it's going to cost $200,000, $300,000, $400,000. So how do you cost a build for maximum accuracy? Like, we want a real cost.
Right. Well, first of all, we have software, which if you have your plans, your site plan, you obviously maybe at this stage, I'm assuming if you have plans, you have a site. So that cost maybe is already gone in terms of buying it. Some people get it left to them by their family site, but at that point you've probably paid for sketch plans. Sometimes we get plans and they're quite vague, but because we kind of know what the standard process is, we can assume a lot of things and make changes. So we have a system software which measures the whole plans, whether it be the area of the site and then the house. So we take our square meters of everything, so they're accurate, and then we basically, from experience, I've been in the building industry for 25, 30 years, won a Master Builder of the Year award in Northern Ireland some years ago, and then I'm a QS as well. So combining that together, I have a lot of experience.
So for you to price a project accurately, you really ideally need construction drawings and not the planning
We need construction plannings, but if we have measurements, we don't especially need spec, because we can make assumptions and we can talk it through with the client and say, look, generally it's a 6-inch cavity now, or if it's a timber frame, or if it's ICF or whatever to decide to build. So we don't need all the spec, but if the client has it in their head, what way they're going to go down, whether they go down to alu-clad windows or double glazed, or what kind of roof they're going to use. So if they have at least that in their head, then we can cost it very, very accurately.
Yeah, and then you have prime cost sum, so you'll assume, let's say, for the kitchen, you're going to spend $30,000, but that figure could be a lot more than that.
That
so
usually is, the, may I say, the female domain. So we usually ask the ladies just to put a figure on that, yeah. And then they can decide with their husband or partner or the one.
But there are cost elements like that are very vague, and you need to drill in detail.
You can walk into any of these hardware stores like B&Q, Homebase, Wren. There's a number of them. I forget what the name of them is in the south of Ireland, but you can buy a kitchen off the shelf. Now, they usually cost anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000,
yeah.
Or you could spend $40,000.
Yeah.
It just depends really where you want to be.
So the question everyone has on their minds is, how much does it cost to build a house? So what's the average per square meter north and south?
North and south. It's a really hard question to nail that down, because I have a figure in my head, which I'm going to tell you, but it ranges from the type of house. So obviously, if you're building a traditional cavity house or cavity block house, it's different from a timber frame house, obviously. It depends on your ground conditions. Have you got good ground conditions? So you could build the exact same house either side of one road, and depending on this gentleman or this lady's preference for their spec, whether they're high insulation, on the floor heating, zinc roof, that house could be $40,000 more than this house. And it could be exactly the same design, size, and general design. But on average in the north, you're talking somewhere around £120 a square meter to £140. And in the south, you're talking
$1,200 per square foot.
I'm going.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you work that out, whatever that is, meters. And in this,
Wait, so sorry, how much per square foot in the north you're
about thinking? About 120 to 140.
120,
and
40, yeah.
In the south, you're talking anywhere from 150 to 200.
Yeah,
and if you're going in around Dublin, then prices, I've got my eyes open a couple of times too, with labour prices sometimes, more so than materials, you know. So you can be caught off guard, even I get caught off guard in a time, and it just depends.
Yeah.
Particularly, the trades that are in big demand at the minute are like brickies and joiners. They're particularly thin on the ground, so they kind of seem to name their price at the minute, which I try and give every region a bit of a countdown. So like Dublin will be number one for the cost. Then you go down to Cork and Limerick and go through the cities. Anywhere near a city seems to inflate the labour prices. So you have to deal with that if you're in that area. It's just a fact of life. Until things change, it's not going to change much for the next few years, I don't think, anyway.
And you were saying timber frames more than blockwork. I would have thought for the way we're building our houses now to be so insulated, airtight.
Timber framing generally is just a cheaper option.
It's cheaper than block.
Yeah, it is in certain ways, in that your build costs would be, it beats it on time scale. Time is money, as they say. As a timber frame, when you build a timber frame, once you get the groundworks done and are ready for the frame itself and scaffolding up, timber frames can generally be up an average house, say 2,500 square foot house, can be up roof on it within 2-3 weeks. And roof on it. That means you're not held up by weather. You can work away inside and work away outside if the weather permits, but there's always something going on. Whether it's with a conditional block built cavity house, you may have to wait in the weather quite a lot. And when you have labour trades going back and forth and back and forth, it's hard to keep constant. Whereas a timber frame company, generally, as a rule of thumb, come in, bam, 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 it's done. And that's why it's quicker, so you can finish your house quicker.
And how do you compare ACF then?
ACF's pretty good. Insulation value, very good. And again, it's on a par. It's slightly more expensive than timber.
More than block.
But again, it has certain advantages with insulation value. Construction method is not too much weather bothered. So every way you build a house, something has most of its advantages and some has little advantages. So it just depends what way you think about it and what you think about
yourself. ICF is heavy enough. So
it's heavy,
More foundations, that kind of thing, So in terms of size and shape, like what's more cost effective to build a square?
Obviously, look at the basic line is the simpler the better. And you are finding a lot of houses now, although You get a lot of, I'd be dealing with a lot of architects, so I'd be getting all kinds of designs thrown at me. And a lot of architects now are going towards that very straight lines, you know, simplistic type of builds, square box type things, you know, which is actually handy to press because there's no thing. But the less bends and the less fancy stuff you have in a house, the more straightforward it is, basically, as a rule of thumb. Try and keep the engineering simple. Obviously, people, as we progress into the century, like the designs are getting more and more elaborate, but also the materials they're using have become, if you go back 20, 30 years, the options for your roof finishes was like slate or tile. Now there's zinc, aluminium, fiberglass, EPDM, trochal, and maybe a few more, soft grass, and what they call green roofs, sedum. So mind boggles sometimes at the amount of choice there is nowadays compared to what there was like 20 or 30 years ago.
And materials then, how are each, because we had scares there with insulation for a long while. That's gone down, hasn't it?
And insulation, timber, steel. Yeah, insulation and steel, timber has come back in price. Now, there's no point in saying they're back where they were pre-COVID. They weren't. But for instance, the sheet of steel at its height, well, before COVID, say, it was around, in my part of the world anyway, which was around 45 sterling, which would be in about 54 euros or thereabouts, was the average price, give or take. And at its height, it was 105 for the same sheet of mesh. It's back down now to averaging in the south about 65 to 70, and in the north about 60 to 65. So it's dropped, and timber insulation has everything settled down and come back down about 20%. I would say it could go another bit, but I can't see it rising again rapidly because we've weaned ourselves off, because of the war in Ukraine, it's taken a year or two for countries to wean themselves off the dependence on oil and stuff and the price paying through the nose for oil. So largely construction is still very oil-based in terms of how they produce the materials and how they structure. So we're still very reliant on oil prices. So with the trouble in the Middle East at the minute, keep your eye on that because that could change a lot of things, because you could see, you know, if oil prices start to go up, you will see prices of materials start to go up again.
Yeah, cement is very energy intensive. Insulation's made of plastic mostly, so again,
it's an oil-based product. So anything to do with oil, you will find 3 or 4 months down the line, you could see it being impacted. Most companies, big companies, have stockpiles of stuff, so, and they buy it at a certain rate. So when they have that stockpile used up, and then they're buying more, that's when you find that the increased rate comes down the line to the customer.
Yeah. And the Suez Canal and all that, with the war now, they're blocking supply lines again.
No longer is it a local problem.
Better build now than later. Yeah,
it's a global problem.
So budget busters, give us top 5, top 10, top 100.
Well, I suppose first of all, the biggest buy probably is your site. You know, depending on where you're buying it, whether you get it left to by your family or friend, like a site costs you anywhere from 60,000-80,000 for a poor one way out in the west of Mayo to 150,000-200,000. Depends where you're buying it.
Like, that's very high, isn't it?
It is very high. It depends where you want to buy. Yeah. Some people buy a site in around Dublin. It might have an old house in it, but all it really is to them is a site, you know. You can pay vast amounts of money for site, and then the planning process can cost you money if you're in a difficult area maybe, and then when you get onto the practical side of things, ground conditions have a big factor on a building. If you have a bad site, there's an old saying is bad ground's never paid for. You know, if you're in a bog or your conditions are not good, you could easily swallow 20-30 grand in the blink of an eye in trench fill foundations or piling. And piling doesn't just relate to the construction of the house. It might have to do with your services, as in sewers and stormwater might have to be piled. Your septic tank might have to be piled. So there's a lot of add-ons to it. We had a lady back about 4 years ago was building her house. And when the contractor went to it, he rang me and he says, you've costed in here for so many thousand for the foundation. And he says, yeah, but we're down the full depth of the digger here to get good ground. It ended up costing her 18,000 in concrete alone. And she had no choice. That lady had no choice. The contractor was in. He was digging. In our part of the world, there's an outfit called Building Control, which are quality control in the north for builders. So they maintained that he had to go down to good ground. So you cannot do what they tell you to do. You have to do it. So that was just before she even got house out of the ground. She was 18 grand worse off.
Yeah, so the site assessment really is...
Yeah, it's pretty deplorable. When you get to the main build, obviously, anything analysis. Can be a budget buster, anything. You could go fancy kitchen, 40 grand. The roof coverings nowadays can range from your traditional slate, which is still pretty much the norm, or tiles are normal enough. But then there is zinc, which is like 120 to 150 pounds square metre, supplied and laid, whereas your traditional ordinary roof could be less than 50, you know, so... It all depends on your budget, really, whether you want to afford them things.
It adds up, for sure.
Yeah, it definitely does.
So, any questions, guys? I'm sure there's lots of questions about costs and things like that. No?
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
As regards timber build in this country, with the damp climate we have, is how suited is it, or what methods have they put in place to counteract the dampness of our climate?
That'd be a question for timber frame manufacturers. And I know myself, we have done several timber frames, and the DPC, obviously, damp-proof course. You would have to take certain measures, but the manufacturing and the spec at which they do manufacturing in this country now with timber frames, is there's no real difference. Maybe 20, 30 years ago, as it was a newfangled thing and timber frames coming in, there was probably issues at the start. But they tend to raise the timber frame off the ground a bit now, like about 8 to 10 inches. There's DPC everywhere. I haven't come across any major problems with timber frames in relation to that. As in timber.
As regards movement or anything.
Oh, you will get a little bit of drying out with timber. You have to expect that. Like,
but when you have a building. On a constant basis.
Yeah. No, it doesn't really move. It cracks. It's when the house is complete, say, you know, when your house is plastered. Once the heating goes on, timber will inevitably dry and twist. So you do get little settlement cracks.
As you would on a block build.
As you would on a block build too. And you can actually hear a timber frame. If you stand on a timber frame when it's quiet and it's starting to dry, you can hear the creaks of it and stuff like that there. So it does change.
You're making it sound very unsound. Structurally sound.
But it's just experience, and it's no big deal. Because you can fill in wee tiny hair cracks, and it does happen in every house, regardless
of the method.
Yeah. So it will settle at some.
Yeah.
Stage.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Quick question: how much contingency should you put aside when you're doing a build in a house? Is it 10% or something?
Yeah, you're correct. Yeah, 10 to 20%, depending on again that the factors are your site conditions, where you're building, how fast you want the house built. You have to sort of think about the thing and plan it out, or ask somebody who knows. Generally, for every 100,000 of build cost, I would say allow 5 grand. Maybe 10 if you're in a particularly difficult spot to build, or high-end spot to build, as in around Dublin. So, about 10 to 15% in general. And you try and work it that you don't use it, but it's there if you need it.
That whole cost triangle, isn't there? It's cost, speed, and quality. You can't get all three. You can get two, but not three.
Yeah. Planning is a big thing. If you can sit down and figure out, don't change your plans too much if you can help it. Now, there are tweaks or so, because once you get to the point where your house is plastered and, say, ready for putting the finished floors you got there, you're pretty much coming towards the end. So if you've still got your contingency or less than place, unless there's a major problem, it should basically come in budget, you know. And the way you work it is, when I do give estimations for people, is I give you the worst case scenario, maybe not the exact worst, but I give you the higher end of it, and your objective will be to try and beat my prices, which you should be able to do. But it gives you the worst end of it, so you're always on the right side of the costing.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
And do you lock in the prices at the beginning? So if there's a material that goes up like timber, are you locked in from the beginning?
Or no,
is there
locking in the price of...
Yeah, locking in the price is nearly impossible, because when I price a house for somebody or costing an estimation, I could be pricing slates, which might be 6 months down the road before you're even ready for that. So hopefully, generally, they don't move that much within 6 months, apart from what happened in the last lucky years. As a rule of thumb, it doesn't. But we would allow you 5% for inflation. Basically, that's what happens. And you just have to hope for the best. That when you get, it is a wee bit of a leap of faith. You know, you just have to hope that when you get to that point. Plumbing is particularly one, because copper fluctuates a lot. Although they're using less and less copper now in houses, that use PVA and plastic. But it used to be a point where you could price a plumbing job today, which is January, say, and come July, that price could have gone up by 10%. And there's very little you can do about it, because copper used to fluctuate an awful lot. But nowadays it's getting less and less, because they're using a lot of more, they're not using copper near as much in the houses they used to.
Thank you.
Okay.
But you can, like with your supplier, with a builder's merchant, you could,
if you're quick
enough,
yeah. Lock
in the price, and they'll tell you the quote's valid for, it used to be valid for how long? The
3 months, or usually.
Used to be 3 months, and now, and then at the worst, it was like 2 weeks or
2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah. So the builder's merchant will lock the price for a certain amount of time.
There seems to be a large discrepancy between the cost of building modular homes and building on-site homes, like we've got an architect involved and all the rest of that. Quite a large discrepancy in some of the quotes that I've been given, yeah? In terms of quality, are you really getting, like, the discrepancy could be four times as much, right? Are
yeah.
you getting four times the quality of a house? Like, where, let me re-ask that question in a slightly different way. You can spend a lot on a kitchen. Where should you be spending money in your house?
Insulation.
Right.
Insulation, windows and roof coverings. Any big ticket items that are non-changeable down the line. For instance, you can put in a fairly budget kitchen, and in 5 years' time, you can rip that kitchen out and put in a 30,000-pound kitchen without any major disruption to your house. You can't do that with your insulation. You can't do that with your roof as such, and you can't do that with your windows as such. It's a major problem to do all that. But, you know, I would say people, as a general rule of thumb, in the world we live in, look at your heating systems, and look at your insulation value and how you're insulating your house. And insulate, because down the line, it might be expensive at the time, but down the line you will find you'll be running your house basically for very little in the future. But especially when there's more technology coming down the line with solar panels and even slates that are solar powered. You know, you put on a slate and it's going to be all interlinking. Now, they're very expensive at the minute, but as the years progress, it will become more and more. So you're going to find where houses are basically going to become self-sufficient in running themselves. So the more you invest in the future at the minute, although it's expensive to do so, you get that reap that rewards down the line, maybe in 10 years.
And how do you explain the difference between, let's say, the modular build house? How is it so much cheaper?
But is it the same spec?
Is it the same spec?
It's a much lower spec. But
as
spec
in, because if you're, you know, if you're getting a modular build for like a shed at the back of the house or so, well, shed is a bad word, but like a home office, might not be that insulated or building regulations compliant.
I think quite basic, but in terms of general living standard insulation and stuff like that, I suspect quite livable. You know,
but
so
you
aesthetically
need to comply
not
with the building regulations. So you do need a minimum amount which is high. You know what I mean? Like, so it needs, you need to make sure that that modular build is building regulations compliant on every level. Because there are exemptions for just something in the back garden kind of thing.
Astrid is right. There's a massive difference between a modular building and a building you build on site. Modulars are built in factories to come like a flat pack thing, although you would say timber frame, but there's much more insulation in a timber frame. And like Astrid said, there's structural engineering details with a house and all, whereas a modular building, probably very hard to insure, maybe. House insurance, stuff
it's
like that
just
there.
Just things to check, maybe not.
Something to check,
and
maybe
that's,
not.
That's the thing. It's just to do the due diligence.
Can you get engineering certs for it and all when you put it down? Yeah. Do you need proper foundations for it? There's like modular builders usually very lightweight. That's the idea of them, and they're quick to put up. Modular buildings now actually come in containers if you wanted them to go. But whether they're easy to insure, certify, council regulations, building control regulations, I'm not sure. I've never had to price one, actually, so I don't know.
Right, okay.
Been straightforward with you.
It is interesting, though, because there's a lot of options there.
It's just the cost difference is so much.
They're so
it's just to make sure you're comparing the same.
The governments are looking into it more for... The governments are looking more and more into that kind of building for emergency, you know, for refugees or emigrants or stuff like that there. It is cost effective, yeah.
If you take out the time factor, you don't mind waiting 3 months for a block layer. Sorry. Is it still cheaper to do timber frame?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. In an answer, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And is that because timber frame production's increased in Ireland? Because it used to be quite expensive. Or?
Well, it's more to do with speed. It's all to do with speed. As time is money. So a timber frame, you can have your house up. Think of it this way. Some people take out mortgages. Okay. When you take the first down payment of your mortgage, it could be 20, 30,000. You're paying interest on that right away. And you still haven't got a house. You know what I mean? So timber frame, generally, if you have a good contractor or if you're switched on and well organized, you could have a timber frame, say a 2,000 square foot basic house, ready to live in within 6 months. Whereas a conventional block work house, if you're, well, you can get lucky with the weather and stuff and have good contractors that are there all the time, which I don't think is usually possible. You know, you would get a standard is a year. Like, you know, so timber frames increased the speed by an average of about 40%.
And if you're sticking on an extension to, say, a derelict house, like a 70-metre squared extension onto a 100-metre square derelict house, could you use a timber frame, or would you still
you
say
can.
The same thing?
Yeah, okay. You could use a timber frame, yeah.
Hello, hi.
Hello.
Do they spray any kind of fire retardant on the timber frame?
Yes.
How do they do?
Yeah, it's grade 3, I think, which is... It's a bit like a 30-minute fire door. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the slabs that go on it in there...
Well, they're all gypsum. They're fire-rated anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, the other question is, on the different stand and seam metal roofs, is, you know, other than the price, what's the difference in longevity of them? And do they need to be ventilated? If you're putting on a warm roof and insulation, do they go down on top of the insulation, or
are usually counterbattened, and there's an air gap, you know.
Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong, I think the insulation's forced in the counterbatten and then your finished roof. Now, the thing about, obviously, slate and tile, man-made slate has a lifetime of about 20 years, you know, and then, although it'll not start leaking, but it starts to look a bit bad looking. Tiles or something similar.
Yeah, the pitch is about 15 degrees. So
yeah, well, 15 degrees, you will need to go for something like aluminium, zinc, fiberglass. Now, zinc is, I suppose, what we would call the daddy of them all at the minute, because it's such, zinc could last 50, 60 years. Aluminium's the next one, then you have fiberglass, trochal. Man-made or natural slate, obviously, like Bangor Blues or Spanish slates, they have a lifetime of 60, 70, 80 years too, because you can actually reuse them if you're careful with them. So, but traditional man-made stuff generally, like if you're talking super shim cements, which are the normal ones, or can't remember the other names of them, and tiles, they have a lifespan of about 20 years in terms of looks, and then maybe 30 years in terms of durability and weather protection. So you generally tend to go for natural. If you can go for a roof and you want to go longevity of life, you probably would go for natural slate at the minute.
Thanks. Just a quick one on direct labour cost versus contractor? I know it's usually a hot topic. The current climate, what kind of savings do you get from direct labour? And I'm not talking about direct labour where you're kind of like helping out the block layer like the fella here was earlier on. I'm talking about purely project management perspective. Where how much?
All the building contractors here, I'm sorry if I say the wrong word here, but I would say you're talking somewhere around 10 to 20%. Okay. It differs from region to region. Again, it's like materials and stuff. Big cities could be 20 to 25%. It just depends on the market at the time. And at the minute, it's definitely the market is in favour of the tradesman and the builder and that. There's so few of them about. There's a complete shortage of skilled labour. So, you're talking 15 to 20% on an average house, yeah.
Cool. Thanks. Thank you.
Okay. Was there another one here? Yeah.
Thank you. Just a quick question about, like, renovation in terms of government grants that are available. Are they actually worthwhile, or is there a lot of hidden red tape, like the SEAI grant and the grants for vacant and dilapidated properties?
Any money you get for free is always worth it if you can fill in the forms. Usually there's a lot of paperwork with it and a lot of things. So
if you've got a lot of delays,
it's hassly sometimes. So, and some people ask, there used to be a grant lucky years ago in the north, it was for insulation and stuff, but you had to fund so much of it yourself to get the grant. You had to do so much to get the rest of the money, so it was a bit complicated. I'm not sure what way they're set up in the south of Ireland at the minute, but they can be a little bit complicated. But if you've got the time to fill the forms and get all your dots and I's crossed, it's generally worth it, yeah.
The SEAI grants, I think, are easier to do than the vacant property one. Is a bit more convoluted, all right, but...
Just a follow-up on the contractor versus self-managed.
Yeah.
If you're going with ICF or Timber Frame, the contractor, in my mind, then will just have to manage the first fix, electrical, mechanical. Like, I mean, could you just do that when the bulk of the structure, let's say ICF guys, can have your house up? What advantage would you have if you go outsource it to a contractor when the remaining, now I'm underestimating heavily here, I don't know, but you have the structure done, you just have to manage the trades after that. What would there be an extra benefit to having that contractor? Or maybe it's a peace of mind thing, but...
If you know what you're doing, or maybe even have somebody in the background who knows what they're doing, yes, there's always savings. Of course there is. If you're paying a contractor, what you're basically doing, you're buying his expertise and his years of experience and his management and his know-how. So that's what you're paying for. And that's fair and proper. So, well, if you're doing it yourself, you're taking on that role. You're taking on the role and you're taking the responsibility that everything is done right. And if anything goes wrong, if something, whether it be quality or spec or something, whatever happens to go wrong, it falls back on your shoulders as what you would call the supervisor, manager, whatever you want to call yourself in that job. You will save money because obviously you will be able to do little things. For instance, we had a client there who, electrician, a conventional cavity block house. He went in and he cut the whole tracks for the electrician, right? Okay, normally an electrician would organise that and look after it. So he saved himself £1,000 there. So things like that. You're doing little things that fall between the cracks that other people would do, the builder would normally organise and sort out. So there is advantages to it, and there's disadvantages. It can be head wrecking. You have what we call human nature factors. Trades don't turn up. They're busy. They're running late. They're somewhere else. Something else happens. So it's a very fine line to tread. So anybody going thinking like that, if you're working full time, I would advise leave it to a building contractor if you want peace of mind and not no less stress.
Hiya. I'm just wondering, as regards insulation, like people are saying insulate all the time.
Yep.
But I'm worried then about ventilation. Because mm-hmm. we're in an old bungalow at the minute, and like that ventilation is a big thing, you know, condensation in the windows. Mm-hmm. So with so much insulation, where does the moisture go, or how is that combated in
well,
the bills?
In a new build, for instance, you would put in like an air heat recovery system,
yes.
which is basically your ventilation. If you notice most houses now, you remember years ago, used to be trickle vents in all the windows. That mm-hmm. was basically your ventilation. Nowadays, it's done with... I forget the name of them now, they're in the roof space, they can be put into your building,
okay.
And they do the circulation of the air and that, and depends on the size of it and where you position them. But modern building now, anything usually with the standard route now for a modern building, I'm talking about, yeah, a new build, is on the floor heating, air source heat pump, and your air heat recovery system, which is your ventilation, which circulates, okay, the air in each room.
Okay, and how do you combat that then in an old build? Or in an old house?
Well, there is systems you can put in. Just their name actually evades
we'll
me at the minute.
We'll have a ventilation talk, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
There is ways of doing it. No worries. There is ways of doing it.
There are other options.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, one more quick one. You had said the cost of build was cheaper up the north. Is there an opportunity to save some costs by getting expertise down from the north? I mean, obviously, you need a local builder, right? But you could get certain things brought down from the north. Do you think there's savings there?
Materials, sometimes, yeah. If you can buy in bulk. You know, if you're ordering, again, depends on the exchange rate at the time. But if you're buying in bulk, yes. If you're ordering, like, 10 bags of cement, no. Well, you know, it's better stay local. But if you can order, like, if you're ordering 5,000, 8,000 pounds worth of materials at the one time, yes, you can. What we did find with a particular client in Tipperary, no mention, no names, he asked me to price the roof for him and insulation for his whole house that we had costed for him. And when we got that price, say, in the north of Ireland, it was $3,000 cheaper than where he had got it in, say, Tipperary or that region. But when he went back to the hardware store, suddenly they matched it. So...
Okay, so games to be played.
Yeah. I always haggled with the builders merchants.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other questions? No? That's it. Okay, thanks so much, DJ. That's brilliant.
Join us next time for more tips and advice from self-builders and experts alike. And if you haven't already, subscribe to Self-Build Plus. It'll give you full access to the selfbuild.ie website, including the Build Cost Hub, the House Plans Library, the Self-Build Journey, and much, much more. Go to selfbuild.ie to get the full details.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.